This is Ziami Brown, and you're listening to RosterWise.
Ladies and gentlemen, citizens of the universe, this is Roster Watch. My name is Alex Dunlap, here with Cody Carpentier for the Week 9 Fantasy Football Preview Edition of the YouTube show and podcast. So pumped to be here with you. We're going to go over the main slate of football games, talk about who we should be sitting and starting in fantasy, some injury news, some big injury news that popped up earlier. Cody is going to be affecting basically the whole sit-start thread, I think, on Sunday, that we're going to have to talk over kind of sort of how we're handling it, DFS, prop bets, all that stuff. And since it is Halloween, for our guy Jeff that keeps asking for it. I'm going back to the old school. I got the for those on the podcast audience, I'm putting on the headset with the microphone, and I'm going dressed up as what, I don't know what, like Jeff Manns or something like that for Halloween this week. Also for the podcast audience, I'm sharing my screen right now on YouTube. You can check us out over there, rosterwatch.com or youtube.com/rosterwatch. And I'm going to show you here the RosterWatch HyperPicks, our professional parlay generator and pick 'em slip generator. Basically, Cody and I, through the course of the week, we put our favorite plays into this thing. We monitor them over on, you know, Prize Picks, Underdog, those kinds of places. And we think it's important that you can sort of, make sure and check the tool, check the cheat sheet throughout the course of the week, because some of these lines, we get them and then they move. So if you can get on them early, that's always best. But certainly we still like some of these. So for any people that have the premium subs, you can check this out. It looks like we have, let's see, how many do we have in there? Cody, did you 11. Just add a few? All right, so it looks like we have 11 in there right now. Trashman still hasn't put his in yet. So let's just say, let's give him a little 3-pick slip here, Cody. So this is all you got to do. You just click it, and it generates them, right? So we'll give you guys this one. Chad Ryland, the Arizona kicker, over 6.5 kicking points. I think that thing's already ticked up to 7. Caleb Williams, rush yards, over 17.5. That's a new one. And then this one that's been hitting the whole time, the Tyler Warren overs on his first quarter receiving yards. That's at 9.5. I was checking earlier. That now is up to 11.5 from when we put it in. I still like it at 11.5, Cody. Love Daniel Jones this week, but yeah, it's super easy, man. You just go here, you pick the number. If you're on Prize Picks and you want to get 6, you want 5, 4, 3, 2, you know, 2, whatever it is, you can just click there and do it. You get that with a premium membership over at rosterwatch.com, along with our other betting tools and some of our betting insights and stuff like that that I'll be mentioning here as we start out this Week 9 preview. As I'm navigating to the premium downloads page, let's start out, Cody, with the Chicago Bears or the Cincinnati Bengals. We have this sitting at here in the premium widgets. It looks like the Bears are -2.5 in this game, a 51 over under. We have 40% of the tickets on the Bears, -2.5, only 38% of the money. So people here like the Bengals getting 2.5 at home. It looks like Joe Flacco is set to play this week. Zach Taylor was said earlier that he will be questionable and carrying a questionable tag, but when asked by the media today about how he was feeling, he said he was feeling like he was good to go. So we should get Flacco, which has been just awesome for Ja'Marr Chase, right, Cody? Of course, if you have Ja'Marr Chase, you know that you're going to be playing him. The Chicago Bears here on the Roster Watch matchup tool for our pro members. It's the number 10 matchup of the week for opposing quarterbacks, number 9 for opposing running backs, number 7 for opposing wide receivers, number 10 for opposing tight ends. So on the Cincinnati side, if you have your T. Higgins, if you have your, you know, Ja'Marr Chase, you have your Chase Brown, even if you have your Joe Flacco, I say fire all those guys up. On the Chicago side, some kind of interesting stuff with DeAndre Swift. I'll be interested to hear from you, Cody. We have the DeAndre Swift news that we need to monitor. We have the Luther Burden news we need to monitor. We have the Olamide Zaccheaus news that we have to monitor. Do we still have Cole Kmet news to monitor?
And DJ Moore. All of them. Limited. Literally, Olamide was limited on Thursday. Swift was at DNP. Rome, DJ, Cole Kmet, all limited. Roshan did not practice. The Burden did not practice. They're literally all banged up. Everybody. Like, this is down to... I mean, is Malangai the only healthy guy in the roster right now? That's kind of the question.
I mean, this is an excellent running back matchup. I think that if Swift doesn't play, that you would have to just smash Malangai into your lineup as a flex, right?
Oh, 100, like, yes, like jam him in, because I had Swift all the way up to running back 9. And this is the number one matchup in the roster watch matchup. Who had him all up to like running back 9 before we got the latest update of him DNP in on Thursday. We haven't got the Friday news yet, but yeah, I mean, if Swift isn't out in this situation and Roshan's banged up, like, this is a Malangai like 23 touch opportunity sitting right at the palm of our hands. And as far as DFS goes, what is he? He's got to be 5,200, 4,600 on DraftKings. So that's it. That's like an insta smash in pretty much every format.
Unless you want to play another guy who we're going to be talking about here in just 1 minute.
I'm definitely doing that. $300 more. Yeah. I mean, I think Chicago's interesting. I like Cincinnati in the Circa Millions contest. I think with just all these injuries, it's like, it sounds pukey, but it is what it is. Cincinnati, as long as Flacco's in, I trust that this thing is going to continue to kind of go the way it has been, where they're going to be competing in games and forcing the ball to Ja'Marr Chase. For those that have Ja'Marr Chase, I had this pretty kind of funny stat that I found last week after those last two games. Cincinnati's possessed the ball for 60 minutes and 52 seconds against the Steelers and Jets. Ja'Marr Chase is targeted 42 times in those two games. So basically every minute and 27 seconds of possessed football, Ja'Marr Chase gets a target. So it's like, you can't even hardly get up and go to the bathroom and come back without him getting another target when this team is holding the football. As far as the running back situation, we got a little bit more out of Chase Brown. Was that last week that we finally got a little bit of a Chase Brown rearing his head?
Well, I mean, Chase Brown's been rearing his head a little bit since Flacco came back. It hadn't always. I mean, we talked about last week. No touchdowns since week one, but I believe he remedied that last week.
And P. Ryan even got in the end zone. He had 9 for 94. He averaged almost 10 yards a carry. So both the running backs were getting some action. The matchup this week still top 10 against the Bears. They got a couple of defensive injuries, not the biggest deals, but I think this is going to be a game that, you know, like the last couple of weeks with the Cincinnati football team, where it's like 33-31 against the Steelers, 39-38 against the Jets. Like, as long as there's a couple of these guys on the Bear side healthy, this is going to be a 30-30 plus game.
Yeah, I like it. The total sitting at 51, and you have 77% of the tickets on the over, 68% of the money. So it's like, I mean, I like everybody that. And the money is all on the over here. So in this game, if you got players, play them. And the interesting thing on the Bears side is, due to injuries, they're, you know, you could be playing guys in a really good situation here where there could be more concentrated volume. All right, Minnesota at Detroit here. We have Detroit sitting at either -8.5 or -9 in a division game at home. It looks like 86% of the tickets here are on, let me just do this. So it's 86% of the tickets on the Lions. 86% of the money is on the Lions here in a 48.5 point over under, where all of the money here in this game is also on the over. Cody, these are your Minnesota Vikings. Brian Flores defense. Typically, this is a spot where I like to play like the Amon-Ra St. Brown types and the Sam Laporta types and all the rest of these guys, maybe because of the shell that he operates with, more so than a Jameson Williams. But I think, if you have your Lions, you play them. I'd be interested to hear what you think about it. But, you know, I'm in some leagues where I'm going to have to play David Montgomery, and just due to the bye weeks, I think it's probably fine. But clearly, you're going to want to be playing Jahmyr Gibbs here in this spot. And then on the Minnesota side, what did you think just with Aaron Jones back and what it means for Jordan Mason and Jordan Addison? Because he's a guy that we can continue to depend on here, because we know that J.J. McCarthy's coming in. I guess I'm kind of burying the lead there with that. Like, what do you think about J.J.? What do you think about this matchup with the with this with these two NFC North rivals?
I think a lot. I had a post this morning as I was kind of going through, like I said, the Circa Million stuff earlier. And obviously I follow the Vikings closely as I have my entire life. And something I found interesting, because in my brain, like Minnesota, for as long as I've been alive, it's usually been like, you know, in Minnesota, it's going to be a tight game. Minnesota wins. In Detroit, it's a tight game. Detroit usually wins. That was like forever. That was Brad Childress, Mike Tice, Mike Zimmer. But with Kevin O'Connell, it's been kind of a tough 3-year stretch here. He's got a pretty good record against the league. He's 11-8 though against the NFC. He was 8-8 going into the end of last year. Now he's 11-8, but he's 1-5 against Detroit. So that means he's 10-3 against the rest of the division. The spread's 8.5 in this game, and every time that Minnesota did travel to Detroit, it's been an 11, a 10, and a 22-point loss. And now he's got, what I would say, over the last 3 years, his most inexperienced quarterback, his most underqualified or underprepared quarterback in J.J. McCarthy is. So we've seen injuries and yada, yada. People can have their thoughts on him. I know they do. Thorne Eichner, I'm looking at you. But they get Brian O'Neill back this week. That should help them on the offensive line. This offensive line has been ravaged all year long. They haven't had a consistent five guys. They came into the season looking as one of the best offensive lines, but they've been ravaged. Getting Aaron Jones healthy, having J.J. McCarthy healthy, having Brian O'Neill healthy should all help and impact this offense having success. But there's a reason I took the over in the receiving yards for Aaron Jones in this one. When you go back to that first game this year, J.J. McCarthy's debut game against the Chicago Bears, that was the last time Aaron Jones was really 100% healthy. He had 44 receiving yards in that J.J. McCarthy debut. I'm getting that number at 13.5 this week, so I like that. I just want to see some competency. I have zero faith that this team wins this football game. But as far as the overall fantasy output, I'm looking at Aaron Jones. I think I got Aaron Jones up into – I think he's running back 2 territory or back end maybe. I'm not overly kind of pushing the cards in or pushing the chips in on Aaron Jones because it's a tough matchup. But I think the running game side of the conversation is going to be tough. But as far as the receiving output, we've seen Aaron Jones when he was in Green Bay have massive games playing up at Ford Field. And then you bring up Amon-Ra St. Brown, who we opened up talking about Tyler Warren a little bit. Nobody in the league has been better in the first quarter of a football game than Amon-Ra St. Brown and Tyler Warren. Week in and week out, they're leading the league in receptions and receiving yards. So Amon-Ra St. Brown, of course, slots into your top five.
Amon-Ra St. Brown, first quarter receiving overs. It's just something to keep in mind. Always keep it in mind with Tyler Warren, though, man. God,
I think he's like 8-9.
It's been a smash all year for anybody following the player prop cheat sheet. It can't go on forever. It's kind of like the whole Jahmyr Gibbs longest rush thing. I was just gonna say,
what's the Gibbs one? Have they been giving us this thing back?
No, they haven't. It was his first time to hit in like three weeks on that thing last week
against Tampa.
I'm not interested in it this week.
They neutered Tampa before the bye, and then they had a bye week coming into this. This is gonna be a tough game for Minnesota.
I think this is gonna be a tough game for Carolina here as they travel to the Green Bay Packers. A 13.5-point spread over at FanDuel here. As I look at the premium download section at rosterwatch.com, it looks like the betting percentages here, there's 32% of the tickets are on Carolina plus 13.5. 38% of the money is a 44.5-point total over here. It looks like 78% of the tickets and 82% of the money are on the under here in this one. Does Josh Jacobs seem banged up or still, or is it just a little too much Emmanuel Wilson? I don't know how you sort of feel about that. And then also just, can you go right back to, can you play Christian Watson? Can you, at this point, can you even play Matthew Golden? Can you drop Matthew Golden? I don't know what to say really. It's like, I'm in a spot where he's projecting pretty well. Our model kind of likes Romeo Doubs this week. I'm in a spot where I'm in a league where I'm gonna buy a nightmare, and I had to get Romeo Doubs in as a second flex. I don't feel great about it, but I feel like if you're in a similar spot, you could probably do it. I think if you have Jordan Love, you're certainly playing him. And then on the Carolina side, you know, there's been the talk this week. It's like, all right, we gave the veteran deference last week to Chuba Hubbard. We let him come back in. We let them split the carries fairly evenly. It was a pretty even split last week, wasn't it, Cody, between the two guys as far as the snaps? Let me pull it up. It was between Chuba and Rico Dowdle. It was 57% of snaps for Chuba Hubbard and Rico Dowdle 36% of snaps. But on those plays, you see that, you know, Dowdle had a much better per carry average, all this stuff. Dave Canales basically saying, look, we're going to need to kind of – he's acting like they're going back to Rico Dowdle. It's – I feel like if you have Dowdle, you can play him. I'm not playing Chuba if I have him. I think the only real interest I have here outside of those guys would be, you know, I think you could play Ted McMillan most weeks as a wide receiver two, wide receiver three. How do you see the action playing out here in this one?
What do you mean by it sounds like he's going to go back to Rico?
Why don't you give a little bit of analysis on some of the other pieces of the game, and I'll see if I can go find the exact quote.
Okay. So I do think that we've hit a point in that split where 60-40 feels like it's a stretch. It's a little too far. We talked about this though 2 weeks ago. I knew they were going to go back to Chuba. I didn't think it was going to be fully leaning into it. I didn't think he was going to be great. I think we thought it should be a 50-50 split. If not, Rico should get the ball a touch more, but I thought they would go back to him. They did. As far as the rest of this game unfolds, we do have a Josh Jacobs bang up in the injury report. He's limited again with a calf. I feel like he's had a lingering calf all year. As far as the receiving room goes, Christian Watson has the knee, but there's footage out there of him practicing yesterday in limited fashion. I think they're just taking it easy on him. I think he's A-okay. Wicks is going to be out again in this one. That's the expectation as far as that goes. And then Golden, I mean, we're worried about Golden because we haven't gotten it. The bigger problem for me in that is that, and I think Byron brought it up in the chat or in our text thread last week. He's like, you know, what's this Christian Watson thing going to do? And my instinct was, well, Christian Watson is going to open up the underneath, which is going to, you know, Dobbs works well downfield, but he doesn't have the next level gear and ability that Watson does downfield when he's 100% healthy. And that opens up the underneath for Matthew Golden. And in turn, it wasn't Matthew Golden. It was, of course, Tucker Kraft that took into that workload, but had the output. But Golden's running enough routes. Like, he's out there running all year. He's been between 74% and 75%, 68%. Like, he's been around here. It just really comes down to the target share, which he had his lowest target share in week 8 since week 2. I'm not ready to really jump off the bandwagon on Golden.
People are asking if they can drop him.
I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that because why? Because Dobbs has concussion problems, because Watson could tweak a hamstring tomorrow like he always does. Wicks can't stay on the field. Like, this is just what this wide receiver room is. Now, you know, like, on certain rosters, like our Yahoo leagues especially, I'll go in and, like, in a weekly basis, I'll pick up and drop. I think it's like roster fodder at the bottom, right? Trashman's talked about this. It's like some guys I just have in there that I never play, like Calvin Austin. He'll just hang out on the bottom of your roster. Parker Washington. And then this week, guess what? You got the opportunity. It's like these guys aren't ones that, you know, they're not supplanting your Rashee Rices. They're not supplanting your Drake Londons. They're just sitting at the bottom. And if something happens, the opportunity is blatantly going to be there if something happens to one of these guys. And we know Jordan Love can throw for almost 400 yards in a game. So I'm not dropping Matthew Golden quite yet, but I'm also not playing in this week. When I look at this entire Green Bay kind of receiving core right now, for me, the highest ranked one I think I have is Watson. It looks like as a consensus, we have Dobbs as the highest guy. I feel better about Watson. I think I have him as a back end two, early wide receiver three, but Tucker Kraft is the bona fide winner in this whole situation. My biggest question in this game is Ted Roll McMillan. I think he had, I want to say it was a 43% target share last week in that game. He's top 20 right now in the NFL in target share, 27%. But that was his kind of, he's had 15-point games before. A couple weeks ago he did, but this was his biggest target share game of the season. I want to see if that continues to grow in this game. But mostly I think I'm looking at this running back position, this Rico Chuba split, and what that means for teams, because I think a lot of people are looking at it. There's a couple of buys this week, but not that many. But you're looking at your running back position, and you got Rico. You got Bam Knight in this Arizona situation. You got another week of that before Trey Benson comes back. You got a Kareem Hunt.
I'm not sure that Trey Benson's going to be back next week. Has that been confirmed to you?
His eligibility opens, but they said it was going to be 5 to 6 weeks. So
yeah,
he'll get what is it, 14 days?
So. Both him and Omarion Hampton are in spots where it's like they're not going to be back.
Regardless, this week you're looking at Rico and Chuba in the same conversation, I think, as you're looking at guys like Bam Knight, Tyron Tracy, Kareem Hunt. I think that's the kind of area that I have these guys in.
I think I would play Tracy over those guys for sure. But Dave Canales from NFL.com says he admitted what was obvious to Carolina onlookers over the past two games. The Panthers can't ignore that Rico Dowdle is clearly their best running back right now. Yada, yada, yada. Next gen stats, whatever. The quote is, Chuba's meant a lot to this organization, certainly to the identity that we wanted to build our team on. And we wanted to give Chuba the opportunity to go out and continue to impact our team in a positive way. And that's what he said on Monday via ESPN. But we can't ignore that Rico's been exceptional in a couple of games and then in the opportunity he's had over the last 2 weeks. He's made some excellent plays. I love the tempo and the violence that he's running with. And these are all things we're kind of talking about and working through this week. So it kind of seems like they're going back to Rico.
He didn't say Rico's been our best back.
He said
we can't ignore the fact that Rico's been exceptional.
Yes, but they were talking about Chuba Hubbard like in the past tense. Saying
because
like,
he said we wanted to give Chuba an opportunity.
Yes.
Yeah, I got you.
So I just think that here's one thing I think for sure. You put up the QR code here for our Elite Spice Blend. AlphaSeasoning.com is where you can get it. Cody and I worked on that thing for like a year, and we're just letting you guys know that for Halloween, we're giving you 20% off of the Alpha. It's a delicious Elite Spice Blend. You can put it on chicken, put it on salmon, put it on pork, put it on steaks, burgers, deer, hog. Whatever it is, you can put it on
vegetables, potatoes.
It's awesome on everything. It's a good way to support us. It's our little company we started. Like we said, it took us a year finding, sourcing all the best ingredients. You've never had a spice blend like the Alpha, so go and check that out. All right, let's get back to it, and let's talk about Denver at Houston. I can't believe it's another week where it's like we should probably bet on Houston, even though they're 2-point favorites against a team who I think they're probably better than, just like last week. Vegas is probably just trying to swindle us here. Nico Collins looks like he'll be back. Christian Kirk is back at practice, so no more Jalen Noel, no more any of this stuff. We did have Woody Marks pop up with a weird late-week addition to the injury report, so we'll keep an eye on that. Kind of got me off of a prop that I had up on the player prop cheat sheet for no more than about 10 minutes before this news came up yesterday. Then I removed it. Nick Chubb under 10.5 yards longest rush. I still might kind of like it, but I figured that maybe if Woody Marks was biting into more of the rushes and we only get like 9 rushes out of Nick Chubb, I doubt any of them were going to go for more than 10.5 yards. But I think if you got Nico, of course, you're going to play him. I think with Marks, just keep an eye on it. Not the best matchup for CJ Stroud here, but no Patrick Surtain for the Denver Broncos certainly helps, I guess. My big question is, can you play – like, are we to the point where people are going to say, like, I'm comfortable playing R.J. Harvey? Because even with the big game we had last week, if you just look at the underlying usage, it was just the same as always. He just got in for all the – big scoring plays.
I think we got enough out of R.J. Harvey that they're going to be forced to use him. Like, you don't just go, oh, well, yeah, this rookie, you know, 3 touchdowns, so – he sucks. Like, I was just put this isn't Mike Vrabel running this thing. I think Sean Payton knows how to score points and wants to score points. He doesn't want to win game 17-13 and give his big donkey 27 carries or whatever. I think RJ Harvey's going to be just fine. Are we going to get the full blown RJ Harvey experience? No, because this is J.K. Dobbins backfield. J.K. Dobbins, like Javonte, have been phenomenal running backs this year, which also we forgot to mention last week was the Javonte. Get back game against the
yeah.
We forgot to mention that.
He said that they were going to feel his weight and feel his girth.
horrible. But no, I do. I like Denver. I like RJ Harvey. Don't love RJ Harvey. I think where I have him this week, 27 running back, 27 overall, a little bit higher than both of you guys, a little bit higher than the model. But I think that just goes to the fact that I think they're going to score points against Houston. on paper to me, or just on eyes, I would say Denver-Houston is going to be a lower scoring game, but I don't think it will be. I think these guys are both going to be able to find the end zone against each other. Kind of that double negative thing where two negatives make a positive. As far as the wide receiver room goes, I'm kind of leaning into you with the Troy Franklin thing. I got to watch, you know, most of that game last week, and it's kind of been my first time seeing a full Troy Franklin game. And he looks the part. He feels the part. He looks like he's taking some steps forward. And obviously that connection is built there with Bo Nix. So I like Troy Franklin this week. Again, I don't know why you wouldn't. I don't know if he's ever going to get up to, you know, a conversation where you're going to be like, hey, this guy is going to be, you know, where Cortland Sutton felt like at one point you could pencil him in, which is like between wide receiver, like, you know, 8 and 16 in a weekly base. I don't think Franklin's going to get to the top of that, but I think having him as a clean wide receiver two, back end wide receiver two in any given week is a good place for him. And then the other side of the coin was the Houston backfield. The Houston backfield, he had Woody Marks pop up. I think we just got to keep watching. That's a calf. Calves can be weird if it's soft tissue like that. And that could obviously give us some opportunities.
I love my morning coffee, but sometimes the crash hits harder than the caffeine. That's when I switch to Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's real coffee infused with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics, giving me smooth, focused energy that actually lasts. The Black Friday sale is on. Get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Enter for a chance to win $100 cash or even get your entire order refunded. Head to everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
Life is unpredictable, but preparing for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. They offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to policygenius.com. That's policygenius.com.
Chubb, my biggest question was, we got Christian Kirk. Looks like Christian Kirk's going to be back this week. And he had a full practice in on Thursday. Dalton Schultz, double DNP, knee injury.
Well, he got hurt during the game, but then he came back, but he didn't look right.
Yeah, so he's got double DNP, knee injury. I kind of like Xavier Hutchinson again. Xavier Hutchinson, I got as a 45th overall play at wide receiver right now. And it feels like if you look at this, you go, well, Christian Kirk's back, it doesn't matter. Hutchinson, I realized this last week, I thought Hutchinson was playing more slot for the Texans. Hutchinson's just kind of been the opposite of Nico. He's been the opposite side. He's been the Z the whole season. And I, what do you think? So Hutchinson scored 17.9 fantasy points last week, 2.3 in week 7, 16.8 in week 5. What do you think his number is on Prize Picks right now for fantasy points, PPR?
7.5.
All right, cool. I'm putting it on the sheet then. 4.5.
Really?
4.5. Isn't that they have met two receptions, 13.5 receiving yards. I like the 4.5 fantasy points.
Okay. I mean, yeah, dude, you get what do you got to catch? Got to catch two balls for 20, for 25 yards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I don't love backing Xavier Hutchinson, but it feels like. He should probably project for more. I was just thinking in my head, he probably projects for, you know, three catches for 40 yards or something. Like,
yeah. And you look at that. I mean, if there's no Schultz here and you got Kirk back in the slot and you know you're going to have Sertan against Nico, Sertan's not going to go on the other side.
Oh, no. Sertan
got hurt.
Yeah, but they're still, man. But still, with the Broncos, it's like they haven't even been playing Jahdae Barron. Like they have a really good secondary anyway. Yeah. So
he had a great pick last week.
But right.
I totally forgot he got hurt last week. I forgot about. I saw him go down. Remember, and then they asked if it was a fake, and
yeah,
I totally forgot about that.
All right, so let's move on to the next one here. San Francisco at the Giants. Giants are only 2.5-point underdogs here in this one, and maybe that's right. I don't know. 36% of the tickets are on the Giants. 52% of the money is on the Giants. So actually, the Giants are technically the sharp side of it. It looks like Jackson Dart is going to be the chalk quarterback this week in DFS. which I find a little bit interesting. It's crazy, man, that they don't have Scat and they don't have Neighbors. Coming into next year, we're going to be talking about how the Giants are actually kind of a young, exciting, and fun team. You know?
You think
so? Just come back in with Dart and Neighbors and Scat and stuff. It feels like they kind of got a crew up there. At least they have
If they lose out and they only beat the Raiders and they go 3-14, does Daboll save his job because they know Dart's good?
I don't know. I mean, there's been the discussions obviously out there now about Daboll and about how good Daniel Jones has been, saying like, how, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, why couldn't he get any of this done with Daniel Jones?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I can't pretend to think what the Maras are thinking. I have no idea. I still kind of think Daboll's a good coach.
I do too, but I just wonder in that media, like, it's just, and the only reason I say is because you brought up how this team might look next year. And I think it's going to be good, but we know how fast things can change if they, you know, drop that and they go, hey, we're going to go hire, you know, Steve Sarkisian.
Juwan Jennings says he's feeling better here in this one. So I guess if you have him, you could fire him up if you'd want to. It's a good matchup. What is the matchup here for the San Francisco and facing the Giants? Yes, it's the number 8 matchup for opposing wide receivers, and it's a good matchup across the board for all these guys. Make sure to fire up Christian McCaffrey, of course, and you know Jennings, Kittle. It looks like it'll be Mac Jones in this game, but if it's Purdy, I think Purdy be a good play. I think Mac Jones is a fine play as well, if it turns out to be one more week of Mac Jones. As far as the New York Giants side, I don't know, man. It's like, I think if you picked up Tracy, you probably want to play him, right? I'm not sure he's going to be very popular in DFS. I'm not sure he's going to be one of these guys who is going to just smash and totally break the bank for you, but we certainly know what he brings in the receiving portion of the game. I think that 17.5 as far as a receiving yards number for him. I didn't add it onto the cheat sheet, but I was thinking about doing it. There's another less heralded running back that I wanted to put on for the receiving yards because of some analytical stuff that I was researching. But I think that the Tyrone Tracy thing makes sense as far as the receiving yards over. I don't think that on a site like DraftKings where you can get a 100-yard bonus for rushing or receiving or anything like that, I'm not sure he's going to be a guy that cracks the bonus. It feels like he's going to need to get a touchdown to, you know, have a super big day for you. But I think in season-long fantasy football, you can play the guy. How do you see the action playing out here?
Why are you wishy-washy on Tracy?
Maybe I shouldn't be. Maybe I'm still – I don't know. I just think about Saleh, and I think about the San Francisco defense and stuff. And I know it hasn't been as good.
Yeah.
But I just kind of – I don't know.
I think I understand the fact that, like, you know, we don't think the Giants are very good, but I just look back to last year and I guess we talked about the waiver wire show a little bit. I talked about it on Monday and just, I guess had Tracy at the front of mind in this, you know, the Rashad White corollary and, you know, Scadaboo did the Bucky Irving thing and kind of took the job from, you know, the second year, fourth round guy. And now he's getting the job back like Rashad White did. We know he's a capable runner. Like last year, 18 for 129 against Seattle, 20 for 145 against Pitt, 18 for 103 against Carolina. He had 20 carries against the Colts. He didn't do a damn thing with it, but he still got the carries and the opportunities. I don't think he's not as hard of a rusher as Scadaboo. He definitely hasn't had as good of a start to the season, but when he's gotten more opportunities in games, I think he's done stuff with it. So I think the matchup's mediocre. We've seen him get targeted. He got targeted 10 times against the Saints last year. I don't really remember that. 6 times he caught all 6 balls against the Bengals, 57 yards. Like, he can work out of the backfield. He's a former wide receiver at Iowa by way of Purdue. So
he's only 5,100 on DraftKings.
Is he running back one territory? So like, I have him as 10. And I'm looking at him next to Genty, and I'm going to put Genty ahead. So I'm going to switch that right now. I'm going to make Genty 10 and him 11. But the fact that, like, so you have him at 14, Trashman's at 18. So Trashman thinks he's more of like a middling to back end running back 2. I have him as a back end running back 1. You're just on the outside. Like, I think if we're in that territory, and if we talked about, like, you know, Chase Brown and Swift, who have great matchups, and Swift is obviously injured, but Monongai, great matchups. And we all, I mean, Trashman doesn't have him ranked that high, but you and I both have Tracy ahead of those two guys. Like, I feel pretty damn good about Tracy this week.
Yeah, I do too. I think he's fine. I just, I'm not sure. Like I said, man, I'm not sure. I guess I'm a little bit worried about, you know, just, you know, first game that they actually have to go and start out without Scataboo, and just, you know, just I worry a little bit about overall systemic risk with.
Yeah.
So, but if you have Tracy playing, right, I think if you have him, if you went and picked him up, playing, I mean, I went out, I had $5,500 or $55 left out of a $100 budget in one of my leagues. And I went all in on Tracy, and I didn't even get him. So it's like, obviously if I like, he's somebody who I'd want to play. I'm just like, I just got done recording the Blitz show with Cardi and with TJ that we have for our pro members at Roster Watching for the premium or whatever subs over at Roto Grinders. And I'm like, man, it's like, this dude's going to be that heavily owned. Are we sure we want to play him in tournaments? But maybe it will be a really good play.
Is he like a 30%er, 25%er?
They're talking about Dart. And that's the other thing. It's Dart and Tracy.
People are playing both.
So
I don't know about, I don't know. I mean, I would rather do some, I would maybe do like the Tracy McCaffrey thing, but that would be, I think Jennings is interesting. Like, I wonder if we're going to get, you know, it's a good matchup for Jennings. And
he's,
I wonder if,
and he says he's feeling better. So
he said he's feeling, so it's like, we haven't gotten the Jennings experience is week two of him, you know, really commanding some targets and doing something with it. Like, he's got targets last couple weeks, but doing something with it from the aspect, it's been week two. So I mean, we've seen Bourne do stuff, Pearsall do stuff, Kittle's back. It feels like this offense is going to run through Jennings when Jennings is healthy.
Falcons and Patriots. There's just two things we need to talk about here. One is, we just got news as we're recording this. Michael Penix, Drake London, Darnell Mooney, and Kyle Pitts have had their designations removed for this game. They're all going to play. So all those
fade
guys
the game.
Play. We get Kirk Cousins. Just get him the heck out of here. You like that? No, I did not like that last week. I did not like it one bit. The other thing is no Ramondre Stevenson. So let's just have the talk.
What talk?
The talk.
Which one? The Butte Diggs one, or the Henderson is the
the Terrell Jennings or possible practice squad call up of D'Ernest Johnson talk. Or Raheem Blackshear, whatever idiot they have on their practice. Who else on their practice squad besides D'Ernest Johnson for the Patriots? Who could they call up to swindle Travion Henderson this week, in the week where he should be going ham? Like, is there? Shouldn't we just be saying,
where's Jamichael Hasty?
So on their practice squad they have. Why did he go to the Saints? I'm like, they have Audric Estime. I thought he's with the Saints. It's why does he keep redirecting me to the stupid Saints page? Okay, so it's
Marcus Yarns or something.
Rushon, do you know who Rushon Baker is?
Rushon Baker?
Yeah, I'm not even sure who that is. I've never done any work on Rushon Baker.
From Elon.
Jonathan Ward, who we know very well. I believe he's from Western Michigan. We all know Jonathan.
He's a little maniacal.
And then D'Ernest Johnson is who they have on practice.
I tell you what, man.
So they're gonna have up though for right now is Travion Henderson and it's Terrell Jennings. And I got to play Travion this week if there's no Ramondre. Ramondre's been getting like 70% of the opportunities. It feels like they're going to have to give it to – I know Travion fumbled last week, but he did have, 10 carries for 75 yards? They're going to have to play him. You spend a second-round pick on him.
Dude.
If they don't play him this week, it's like it's totally all over.
He's
because, if they, Because if I didn't say it, Ramondre Stevenson's out.
You said it.
Okay.
If they don't play Travion Henderson for north of 60% of the opportunities this week, you are like
you're toast and you
permission to cut. Yeah. Permission to cut bait on Travion Henderson, which is one of the most painful things I've ever had to utter. But the fact that like his like literally it's went back and forth every single week from 30 to 20 to 40 to 20 to 40 to 20 to the teens and then back to 20. And now there's no Ramondre and he's scored like a total of what 39 fantasy points on the season. Like if they give Henderson the opportunities, this dude can score 39 fantasy points in this game. And we all know that. Nobody needs to repeat that. It's obvious to everybody in the NFL except for Mike Vrabel, it feels like. So I guess Rushon Baker looks kind of sick, but he's 5'11", 218 pounds, man.
All right.
He looks kind of sick.
If you got Travion, I think you can get him in this.
How far up are you pushing him?
I'm going to move him.
I haven't moved him since this injury.
I've been doing shows. I'm moving him above. I think I'm going to move him like right next to Kareem Hunt. I'm moving him above Charbonnet and Ken Walker and stuff. Probably move him above Woody Marks. I'll probably put him next to Kareem Hunt and J.K. Dobbins, running back 23 or 24.
Okay. I think that's right. At wide receiver, obviously you talked about all the Atlanta guys that are in and great. And I think what that tells me is it's a stay away as far as the Circa Millions goes. I love New England, but Atlanta's just too wishy-washy this whole year. So I'll probably argue against that. As far as the New England side at the wide receiver position, will you bend the knee on Kayshon Boutte this week and rank him higher than Stephon Diggs?
Probably not, but maybe I should. Probably not, but maybe I should. I rely. There's just certain things that I mean, with Kayshon Boutte, it's like if it turns out.
How sick was he, man? We knew how sick he was. He's just getting the opportunities.
Let's see. It's just, I mean, we're talking about like almost six and a half targets versus under four targets per game. Talking 2.88 catches versus 5.25 catches per game.
That's season long though. You got to look at the last couple of weeks.
No, this is over the course of the last. This is over the course of the last five games. For the model right now. Last five, yeah. I mean, last five target share: Stephon Diggs 23%, Kayshon Boutte 13%. No, I'm not going to do it. Expected fantasy points last five games for them. Stephon Diggs, 11.63 expected fantasy points. Kayshon Boutte, 6.86 expected fantasy points. I'm gonna rank Stephon Diggs ahead. I'm not bending the knee just yet. All right, let's skip to the afternoon games here, Cody. We gotta get through this. Let's just skip to the big. Well, I guess we got to talk about Tyler Shuck and stuff.
Do we?
Let's talk about Tyler Shuck, 14.5-point underdog here, going to the Rams in his first start. What a maniacally tough first start for him. 78% of the tickets are on the Rams here, 70% of the money. Everyone's on the Rams and on the under. And everybody wants to play Kyren Williams in DFS this week. What does Tyler Shuck mean to you for Olave? Looks like we got word from Kellen Moore that Alvin Kamara is going to be questionable for the game, but is trending in the right way. He was limited on Friday at practice.
Shuck to me, well, first off, if this was college, I would be taking the under on Shuck because sack yardage counts against your rushing total. And I think he's going to get killed in this game against this Rams front. Rams should dominate. The targets to Chris Olave continued and grew. And he ran the most routes he's ran all season last week when Shuck got some opportunities. I think that's going to continue. Another week over 100 air yards for Chris Olave. That's now made five of the last 7 weeks for Chris Olave, north of 100. I think it's fine. Again, he's not a guy that's, you know, you're going to get your 12 fantasy points. May you get 26? Maybe. We'll see. But it's probably going to be 12, and that's fine. You have to be okay with that in your rush. We've talked about that all year. On the other side for the Rams, I don't understand that. I talked about this yesterday. We did this on our Truth Dynasty podcast for our midseason update, and we talked about some running backs for next year, like Jarquez Hunters of the world, and what Blake Corum and what Kyron Williams look like going into 2026. And I just was like, why is nobody talking about the fact that Kyron Williams isn't getting this 88 to 90% opportunity share that he's been getting the last couple of years? Like, his snap shares are down to 60%, 69, 69, 75, 75, 91. But then it's like everything else is in the 60s and 70s, and Blake Corum's getting opportunities. So one game over 20 fantasy points this year for Kyron Williams, and it feels like it's radio silent everywhere on X land and on podcasts.
And if they, here's the thing, Cody, if they get up big in these games, like, they kind of let Corum run.
It's weird. It's like,
I don't think just if they get up and they smash, and I think they smash, I'm with you. I think in the Circa Millions, we should take LA to beat these guys by, 28 points,
50.
But, I think if that's the case, it's not a guarantee that they're going to let solve the game off with Kyron. It could be.
They won't. They've proven that they won't.
That's the whole thesis of the play. I'm much more pumped to play like Stafford and Puka, like the guys who are going to get him there. Devontae Adams. I think that certainly if you're playing in DFS tournaments this week, like, everyone's going to own Kyron. Man, make a stack of like Stafford, Adams and Puka, and no one's going to play him because they're all going to be on Kyron, thinking that the game strip's going to go like that. And the fact of the matter is, if the game goes like that and somebody's going to have to salt somebody off, they had to get up to a big enough lead to get salted off. And guess who's going to be? It's going to be Puka. It's going to be Devontae Adams. Cody, we did just get news in here from Joe Person, who of course covers the Carolina Panthers. And he says, Panthers running back Rico Dowdle will start and get the bulk of carries Sunday at Green Bay, per league sources. But I'd expect Chuba Hubbard to be a part of the offense as well. Dave Canales strongly suggested this would be the case at the start of the week.
Rico Dowdle, your running back 17 in my rankings. Just moved him up six spots.
Okay. All right. The big game, the big kahuna. The Kansas City Chiefs at the Buffalo Bills here. The Buffalo Bills at home are 2-point underdogs in this game. 66% of them. Should we bet the Bills here?
I'm not touching it.
66% of the tickets, 74% of the money. So there's a sharp even angle here. Dude, taking the Bills and getting two at home?
I mean, I think it – so if you look back at the last 10 years of these guys – not 10 years, but 6 years of these guys playing, this will be the 10th matchup between Mahomes and Allen. Mahomes won the first matchup in 2020 in Buffalo. Since then, Allen is 4-0 against the Chiefs in the regular season. A couple of wins here, a couple of wins there. Mahomes is 4-0 against the Bills in the playoffs. But I think I wrote this in our Circa Millions chat that, like, I would lean Bills because of the trends and because you're getting the 2.5 and all this. But the Chiefs are a game behind them in the standings, and the Chiefs drop this game. They're going to be fighting for the wild card all year. That's just the state of where they're at and where the AFC is right now. They're going to be fighting for the wild card. This game, for how good we know these teams will be in December, this game's going to come down to – it feels like this might be a game that, like, you could host or be on the road in the AFC championship game, because, these two teams are going to go, play – New England or the Colts or the Broncos, and those teams aren't prepared to play in those games in January. They're not pedigreed to do that. No. These two teams can win those games on the road, but getting to that AFC championship, this game is massive, and it kind of makes me want to stay away or pick the Chiefs, but I do love the value with Buffalo. So I'm very much on the fence in that game.
You know who to play in this one, right? You play Rashi Rice, Kareem Hunt with no Isaiah Pacheco. I think in deeper leagues, Breshard Smith is probably fine. I think a lot of people have to play Xavier Worthy, even though he's been a little bit disappointing lately. If you have Travis Kelce, you've actually been fine with playing him, right? Of course, you're playing Mahomes. Of course, you're playing Josh Allen. As far as who you're playing besides James Cook on that side, though, you're on your own. Steve Smith even came out and said this week that Keon Coleman stinks. So that's his latest add to the whole Jerry
Steve Judy Smith list. Or Stephen A. Smith, same person.
No, Steve Smith.
Same person, right? Same crappy takes.
Steve Smith Senior has been like really good with his wide receiver.
Has he? Because last I checked, he liked Xavier Leggett and didn't like CeeDee Lamb and didn't like Jerry Jeudy.
Yeah, but he said that Jerry Judy's a total kitty cat, and he is.
Yeah, that's one hit. He also said that CeeDee Lamb wasn't that great, and he also said that he wanted Jonathan Mingo.
Did he?
He was.
I'm just thinking most recently about the whole Judy thing, right?
The one thing I will tell you is Keon's got a little bit of that millennial to him, but he's not a kitty cat, and I know that for a fact. But I will say, who do I prefer? I don't prefer Keon Coleman in this game. I do think he could potentially have a big game, but I think this thing runs through. When Shakir's healthy, Shakir's in the field, he's getting the target share, 30% target share week 8, 30% week 5, 24% week 4, 20% in week 6. Like, Shakir's getting targets and opportunities, and that's the only guy that I really trust in that receiving game.
Do you know my favorite prop of the week? It's Josh Allen rushing yards over. It's like it's not only the fact that whenever he gets in these big games and these big spots, he goes into Superman mode. He just does. He wants to take over the football game. He's gonna want to do it there in front of the crowd. And if you look at the average rushing yards allowed to opposing quarterbacks, the Chiefs are second in the league so far this season as far as allowing the most rushing yards to opposing quarterbacks. This is going to be one that we got it earlier in the week. I think at 36.5, it's up in the 40s now, and I still love it, man, because I think it's going to be, Josh Allen out there looking like who's going to be out there looking like Cody? Some kind of shoeless Joe Jackson.
that's an interesting comp. I will say, Trashman took the under on the receiving Joe yards. Jackson.
What?
He said Trashman must think he's a kitty cat too because he took the under on receiving yards for Coleman.
Did he?
Yeah.
Even Trash Man, dude. Blind squirrel could find a nut every now and then.
Sale is here. Right now, score up to 80% off everything home. These are our best deals of the year. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday sale now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.